Welcome to this Policy Perspectives podcast. I'm Jim Allen, head of Capital Markets Policy at CFA Institute in Charlottesville, Virginia. And today I'm talking with Douglas Cumming. Douglas is a professor and Ontario Research Chair at York University's Schulich School of Business in Toronto. Welcome, Douglas.
Thank you very much.
Now, Douglas, you and CFA Institute joined forces about a year ago to look at some of the venture markets, venture exchanges around the world. Could you tell us a little bit about, briefly, about that the study that you conducted and what markets you looked at?
Definitely. Thank you. The study actually arose out of a conversation that the CFA Institute and I had regarding the introduction of the NASDAQ BX venture market in the U.S. And since I'm a Canadian, the question that they had for me was, in Canada, given that we have a venture market in Canada and generally lower listing standards in Canada than the U.S., they were interested in knowing whether or not fraud was more frequently observed in Canada and in particular on our venture market. And in looking around, we discovered that nowhere in the world are fraud rates reported by exchange, which made us think that's incredibly surprising that this type of information is not disclosed or reported by securities commissions, regulators, exchanges, or anybody for that matter, for any country or exchange anywhere. So we endeavored to study this issue and examine whether or not fraud rates, and that in particular detected fraud rates, are different across countries. And in doing so, that's required a lot of data gathering. And so we thought we would do this first by examining three countries that have very similar trading rules. When we say trading rules, you look at the stock exchange web pages, and they have very specific rules about prohibited practices and the like on the exchange. And those trading rules are very similar in Canada, the UK, and the US. Likewise, we know from our other research, these exchanges in Canada, the UK, and US have very similar surveillance systems, meaning the computer algorithms that detect manipulative trading practices across these three countries are very similar. Further, they have similar regulatory structures in terms of the securities regulation. Each of these countries are following a common law legal system, and a lot of the securities cases are precedents in their respective countries for each other across countries, so it's a very similar regulatory structure. And then lastly, in terms of the amount of money that gets spent on enforcement, is likewise extremely similar in Canada, the UK, and the US. So given those resources allocated to enforcement are quite similar, that likewise makes it a nice testing ground to see whether or not differences in rates of fraud matter in some way in response to the listing standards on these exchanges. And so that's why we looked at those countries.
If you don't mind, I'm going to kind of take a step back. When you say fraud, now what do you mean when you're talking about fraud in the context of this report?
Great. So we effectively categorized types of cases that we observed into eight main types based on having a look at the data that we first collected in Canada, the U.S., and the U.K. And so we see, so I just list these eight types. First is financial fraud, having something to do, for instance, with financial misreporting or misrepresentation. Then there can be other types of, as a second type, other types of non-financial misrepresentation or disclosure. Thirdly, there could be something to do with illegal distributions, so the ways in which securities get sold. Fourthly, bribery, particularly in respect of bribing foreign officials. Then fifth, sixth, and seventh are to do with trading practices. So under number five, we discovered there are frequently pump and dump cases. So if you're promoting a stock falsely and then as a way to pump up the price and then subsequently sell it, that's referred to as a pump and dump scheme. Sixthly, are the various types of improper trading practices. For instance, let me start with the first type is a wash trade. So a wash trade has the same client reference on both sides of a trade. In other words, you know, one hand is trading with another hand, which is like washing your hands, which is why it's called a wash trade. There can be matched orders or marked orders where two people are talking on the phone and they simultaneously enter an order in order to set a market price in that kind of way. Or there could be activities to, you know, pump up the price at the closing date, like a market, which would be referred to as marking the close. So that's our sixth category. And we group those together because they are, I guess, less frequently reported. And so it's, we thought we'd just group those together for the purpose of reporting these results. And then number seven is insider trading. So a large number of insider trading cases have its own separate category. And then lastly, we have this grouping of cases that we refer to as delinquent filings. And so whether or not you want to call that fraud or not is depends on the eye of the beholder. We report these delinquent filings in our paper, although in no way do these statistics on delinquent filings, unduly influence the results one way or the other in the way we report things.
So could you separate out which of those eight was the most frequent, most common, and I guess you would say that what was the most frequent, most common in each of the three big markets, the U.S., Canada, and the U.K., the three big markets that you looked at?
If you look at all cases on each of these exchanges, we see that on the New York Stock Exchange, we have, just in terms of number of cases, we observe 1.9% of fraud litigations per year relative to the total number of New York Stock Exchange listings over that time period. And then for NASDAQ, instead of 1.9 as in New York, in NASDAQ it's 4.5%. And then for pink sheet companies, which we also examine, although technically it's not an exchange, but we're interested in knowing, it's over 5%.
So that's kind of listings. So I mean, the difference between the New York and the NASDAQ is almost, I mean, it's more than double, right?
Yes.
Do you have any indication of what may be the cause of that, or is it just just companies that maybe less prepared to be public, just don't have the kinds of resources to have the internal controls, or what do you have any sense of what that might be?
In sorting these things out, it's we do our best to control for other things being equal. When we run a number of regressions, and as examples of things that we consider, we control for size, the average size of the companies on these exchanges, the type of industry that they're in respect of including market-to-book statistics, those types of things that differ across exchanges. And, you know, one likely inference from these results is that at least when you compare New York to NYSE, New York to NASDAQ, that what one might say, or at least the data are consistent with the view that the lower listing standards has some explanatory power in indicating differences in degrees of fraud across those exchanges. With one difference, and that is in terms of the one outlier type of fraud is that for bribery. So bribery is more common among New York companies than NASDAQ companies. And the reason why we would think that that's a different type of result is that the New York companies likely have more companies that are listed on New York that are going to be engaging in markets where bribery is more common. So mm-hmm. there are larger companies involved in international activities, perhaps more frequently than NASDAQ-type companies. Mm-hmm. Although, having said that, the bribery cases are relatively infrequent in comparison to other types of securities regulation issues.
Right, and so that's the difference in the U.S. markets. Was there one specific type of, in your parlance, fraud that stood out or was more frequent than any of the others?
Yeah. So the two most frequent ones, firstly, insider trading. So that's most common in both NASDAQ and New York. So the insider trading cases are number one, and number two is financial fraud. Mm-hmm. Then followed by number three would be other fraudulent misrepresentation and disclosure.
Okay.
So those are the, in rank order, one, two, and three, insider trading, financial fraud, and then thirdly, other fraudulent misrepresentation and disclosure.
Copyright 2013 CFA Institute. This program is designed to give accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is distributed with the understanding that CFA Institute is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, tax, investment, or other expert advice. If legal advice or other expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.